Thank you, Michael the Castro, brother, confidant, sojourner through the solar system, raconteur, griot, poet, chronicler, scholar, activist, literary and cultural organizer, father, good man. First I want to show you something that we're giving away. We don't want to create a stampede, but we have limited copies of this blown-up version of the cover of Drum Voices Review with Maya Angelou on the cover, and we're giving it away this evening. So the first come, first serve. To avoid logorrhea. Yeah, most people know what diarrhea and gonorrhea are, but I won't tell you what they are. But to avoid logorrhea, I'm going to read the brief bio sketches as they appear in the notes on contributors in Drum Voices Review, because we have a time, you know, frame we're working in. And so Ira Jones will be our first reader. And it says here in Drum Voices Review that Ira Jones is the publisher of Eyeball, a member of the Black Man's Think Tank, and active on the St. Louis poetry and cultural arts scene. His poems have appeared in Front Lines, In the Tradition, Catalyst, and Young Toms. I know him to be a man of seriousness, of spirit and aspect. Ira B. Jones. Is he here? Well, maybe I will engage in some logorrhea while while Ira comes up. We travel as a group and individually, and Ira has been on the road with us. You know, we have like a network of writers' clubs, writers, various kinds of programs, forums, concerts, open mics, you know, straight readings, panels, workshops, symposia, conferences, festivals, and so as we've networked, we've been in different parts of the country and the world, and Ira is right here, but I do want to say that last year at the National Black Arts Festival in Atlanta, where nearly 750,000 people gathered over a period of 7 to 8 days, the second largest literary event that took place there, next to Maya Angelou's reading at the Morehouse's King Center, was something called In the Tradition, in which about a dozen and a half young writers were showcased. Their careers were launched there. And since they were virtually unknown, you know, they were not household names. Not one of them was like a name that you would recognize. I mean, you'd recognize certainly the family would. But we were extremely pleased that they drew the kind of crowd, and it was very massive crowd, cabaret atmosphere, just great. So there were three St. Louis area writers involved, Andrea Rand, Ira Jones, and Jabari Asim, who was just named book editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ira Jones is here.
Pieces I'm reading tonight are out of a series of pieces, except for one piece, and all of them are in the series that is in out of that is part of the series. One of the pieces in Drum Voices is part of the series that I'm reading from, called Alley Games. Okay, this is Alley Games 13. My father spins vintage vinyl against the turntable, soloing at 78 speed John Coltrane rhythms into my memories as I take giant steps, not as large as his or Train's, giant steps for me just the same, remembering not to double dribble inside or slam the back screen door. My young legs jump down the flight of five stairs, streak through the early afternoon of spring of 71, bursting with endless energy across the walkway, with one smooth dribble behind and between my legs, propelling myself against the weight of life's gravity, airborne above the gate, built by my father's hands, touching down in the alley with wings spread, like the posturing young blackbird sitting on the schoolyard fence, crooning the Temptations tune, young flesh fills with fresh lyrics, licking like fire in the air, tasting like black licorice and bloody street beats. This is a love poem titled Alley Games 1, and this is the first piece in that series of poems. Toward the distant alley, curtains breeze out of the master bedroom window. As bluish black fire leaps from melting black wax, four lips wait wet with warm desire. Burning kisses crack icy water melting. Music tongues ears with 78 RPMs. In a sentimental mood, four purple eyes fall upon the swooning sea of silk sheets. Hips ripple beneath the sheets that mirror the moon. Upon the wrinkling shine of the sea, tenderly cuddling lips lick love naked with falling fire onto tantalizing tips of tongues. The raw bone pearly sheen of the sea bucks the bull god inside of herself. As the horn of the bull pierces the eye of the hurricane, the sea sparks and sets the calf free. As the Red Sea slowly conquers the bull god, the turntable drops the disc. When the lights are low, trumpet smooches Miles Davis's mouth as lacquer notes drip from melting black wax into the snoring winds. This piece is called The Whirlwind. We were born alone, destined to die the same. We're wild men in the soul-numbing whirlwind of life, dangerous blood boiling in idle veins, slipping through the blanket cracked with darkness. Angry eyes ripple our faces, trapped between clenched teeth and fists. Our icy blood tongue slice curses of death into quickly cocked ears. Brass knuckles rage against the night. Hair trigger automatic weapons or half valved ready to blow, burning shards of exploding iron sulfide like splintering bullets splattering breathlessly against the rough edges of life, while our blood red sun spills in the fire of our crosswinds, wasting precious lives, falling onto concrete slabs. Death lurks from the corners of closing eyes filled with salty tears. Thirsting tongues and taste buds bleed as we strike and fade into the whirling wind of death. This particular piece is called Street Symphony. this St. Louis summer day drips red blood boiling with humid heat as razor rays of sun cut through scattered clouds. Spinning sun falls fast onto black blues on the western horizon. Rainbows of blackness crack the concrete white streetlight as dark voices seep through this night's sleepless streets. Five tar-colored black boys harmonize the city sounds. Blackbirds attempting to sing their way out of this summer city cage, fenced in with their black backs against the stone wall of the school. Eight voices are swallowed by the alleyway. They're clashing schemes, colors, eyes, and ears with an evening chorus of echoing images of street symphony. This piece is called Street Symphony 2. In the corner of the schoolyard, Junebug and Joe Willie house an eight-man game of crap, live with the snap of black fingers rolling rhythms to the tumbling beat of black-eyed bones. Beneath a broken street lamp, they sing a bad gambler's blues song, wagering their own lives against sharp edges of the die. I fade you. I fade you back. Bet they hit, bet they don't. Amid the broad strides of the evening turning into night, the alley calls me into the wildness, like the howl of an alley dog chasing a bitch in heat. As I pass through the alley, Duck sniffs a glue high from a brown bag into his doped brain. A faceless, nameless alley rat passes at the edge of the bushes. As I shadow through the shortcut without a scrape of pain, I meet my father's words of wisdom halfway into this hell. Now, son, do the intelligent thing. Walk away from ignorance. I am a man-child, so I do as a child as I cast my father's words toward hell, listening to those devils singing satanic songs filled with snapping crap. This particular piece is called The Winter Alley Game. This is a man-child's winter war world, steadying the line of scrimmage where warmly wrapped bodies boldly bend at the knees as Rock chants the call to the alley war. Huck one, smoke rings from his mannish breath, bites the bitter St. Louis cold flowing into the game. Huck two, as Peanut's crazy legs long stride into wide receiver motion. Huck, huck, the ball snaps shifting between Mookie's lanky legs as bones bang to flesh and red broken blood brothers measuring the strength of our innocent ancient young lives. Rock drops back to pass with frozen fingers defensively spread like stubby black icicles into the wide eyes leering, launching a Super Bowl dream over midwinter air. The spiraling pass is snatched out of the cold, tucked away from gang tacklers, pulling Peanut's head to the concrete, ripping his clothes, tearing through his silky brown skin. It was first down and 10 beside the last telephone pole. As he bangs his head, blood splatters covering the cold white ground like a wino's broken jug bursting and spilling with blood streaming from his nostrils like ripe wine. This particular piece is called Ascension, and it's still out of the series, Alley Game 6, Ascension. These inner city alleyways connect us like the veins of life filled with the warmth of flowing family blood. As we stand over James Michael Peanuts Woods' closed coffin, the cold-blooded alley war game filled with death sticks on our hands and in our memories like red blood separating from yellow plasma on a sacred totem. Peanuts is at the crossroads, and this his last sacred solitary moment of darkness, burned brown like a golden singed sun, unable to look into his mother's weary eyes, dreary with pain of prayers hung on a broken cross to save his soul, transcending our begging eyes emptying, our frozen tears dropping, mocking the rain gods like broken ice white cold glass beneath our natural knees kneeling while prayers melt this man child back into the mother earth. For the last piece, it's not in that series. It's called Window Frames, and I would like for the Bosmans to give me some assistance on this piece. This piece is called Window Frames, and it's a love poem. Through window frames without glass, your cat stares and hazel eyes glare with a thorn-like splintered affection of Aretha Franklin love soul song. Sweetly smelling up the room, there's a rose in North St. Louis. Softly opening up the shades, letting the sun shine, gently cracking the misty windows open in pollinated springtime air, your hazel eyes flirtatiously dancing 2020 alone in the powder blue solitude of distance. As we move closer, gazing into the whites of each other's eyes, blues are reflected beneath glass. In an old broken wooden window frame, through climatic change with weathered paint peeled back in jaded shades of green, cracks sign the time and winter season sing. You break into my midday work, meet and greet me smiling with hazel hush puppy eyes, titillating my soul with emotions, enter my inner sanctum, cotton stroke my peace of mind with the presence that invites me to walk barefoot across your spring green grass. With neatly red painted toes, you point to the yellow dandelions, passionately showing me the earthbound hidden purples inside of you. There are sculptured door frames waiting to be unhinged from a falling house, filled window panes with your mother's lace chiffon dress torn into black on black silk swatches. Sensuous semi-anonymous woman with three faces wrote me a perfume love letter in the air, swirling with icons of voodoo thrills. Said, I want to get you to know us better. Have dinner with us Friday at 6. I'll curry some vegetables, and for dessert, you can dip my cream with your spoon. Conversations alone with you, the cat, and the dog, Saturday morning till 2. With the lure of a budding rose, your lips bloom in red, and you call me closer. You let me see your soul with a microscope, nakedly framed beneath cut glass. Passionate pleasure is your possession, interweaving polyphony of treasure trolls, prettified to my desires. Bear your open pages to me. Sculpture me with your love. Mold me with gentle word songs. Let me be the one to enter your basement workshop. Create us a multicolored masterpiece. Give me a hot lemon pepper birthday present. Hand me the key that unlocks your door. The rapture of your hug, the bliss of your kiss, an unbroken cycle of passion marks and pleasure, jeweled belly button framed in window panes. Your soul is a work of art. Breathe breath into my being. Tie your flesh around my bare bones. Moan poetry with your horn-shaped lips. Embellish me in the cotton softness of your touch. Call our unborn children into the womb. Take these uprooted trees and make them live again. Make a nest for the tired eyes and flapping wings to rest. When the stolen doors return instinctively, like our stolen moments together, to roost in your backyard again, like birds coming home for the summer, look to the northern sky and hunger for my gentle words, like I hunger for your teasing girlish laughter. I've heard that silence is golden, but not in my house. Why not answer the call? Why not answer when I call? Why doesn't the phone ring like it did once upon a time in this story? Have you painted the windows open or angrily slammed them shut? Or has your ex-lover made you paranoid about what's outside in the darkness of not knowing? We hold the key. With our minds, love will unlock the door, and we will both come inside from the cold, gently open and close the windows together. Feel the fresh, cool breezes among the nakedness of the night. The cat and the dog have come to passionate peace.
If I could touch you without making love, I wouldn't have the strength. If I could make love without touching you, I willfully wouldn't. Your fire tongue burns my earlobe deeply, throbbing into my brain cells. As I lick your dripping pecan ice cream breasts, I promise you none of your sweet love will ever fall onto the ground. What a sweet surprise. We meet at a dreadlock art exhibit. You hold my hand and take me to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.